Steve.
Yes.
Did you really want to come back from your vacation in Cape Cod? seems like an awfully long time ago.
Well, you know, it was tempting to stay, especially since I could have avoided the traffic getting out of there, but I did have to go eventually.
Right. Well, I didn't even want to leave Crestone, Colorado when I was vacationing there. And here now a story about Americans who aren't leaving vacation spots. They're moving to those places, like Flagstaff, Arizona. That's a scenic town near the Grand Canyon. And it's something Arizona Public Radio's Daniel Crocker knows about because he's there.
For centuries, the San Francisco peaks just north of Flagstaff have been a beacon, soaring nearly 13,000 feet above the desert. First Native Americans, then early pioneers, were drawn to the cool, pine-blanketed mountains. And now the Flagstaff High Country is luring a new wave of settlers. For the past 8 years, this college town has been Mary Stone's home away from home. She makes the two-hour drive from the Phoenix Valley up to her second home here every chance she gets. She strides into her spacious living room, where huge windows overlook the Coconino National Forest.
As soon as I came to Flagstaff, I felt at home in a way I hadn't felt probably any place else I've ever lived. It's the people, it's the arts, it's the free exchange of ideas, the natural surroundings.
Stone and her husband are planning to retire in Flagstaff. In fact, Mary Stone is already spending much of her time here. She was named Volunteer of the Year in 2007.
Right now, my driver's license has my Flagstaff address, and I'm registered to vote in Flagstaff. I care more about Flagstaff. It sounds terrible, because I've had a home in the valley for 16 years now.
Newcomers like Mary Stone have been flocking to Flagstaff and other picturesque resort and college towns since the 1970s. But in the past two decades, their numbers have exploded. Kenneth Johnson is senior demographer at the University of New Hampshire's Carsey Institute. He says the Stones' experience in Flagstaff is typical of what he calls amenity migrants.
Like many of us, they would say, boy, when I can, I'd really like to live in one of these beautiful scenic areas. And as they get close to retirement, they can fulfill those wishes. And sometimes for people who are consultants or have more flexible sorts of work schedules, they may just begin to spend more and more time in their second homes.
Johnson has identified 300 recreation or amenity regions across the country, from western ski towns to New England to the lake country of the upper Midwest. While other small towns are dying, these communities are booming. They're growing 2 to 3 times faster than other rural areas, even faster than many metro areas. And as the baby boomers retire, Johnson says the migration will accelerate.
You get the wave of the baby boom, which is bigger than the wave before it. And on top of that, the baby boomers are more likely to purchase these kinds of second homes or amenity homes or move to these areas. And so you get essentially a demographic perfect storm.
The newcomers can bring a lot of expertise, even new businesses, to their adopted hometowns, what Johnson calls human capital. But not everyone welcomes the changes.
This is the old family mercantile, which opened in 1889. So you see the old sign up on the side of the building that says ranchers, merchants, and Indian traders.
Jim Babbitt grew up in Flagstaff with his brother Bruce, who became Arizona's governor and U.S. Secretary of the Interior. The family's century-old sandstone building, 2 blocks away from Flagstaff's historic train station, is now a camping gear store.
People come to the nice little mountain town. So pretty soon, guess what? They want to live here or at least have a part-time home here. And what is about the first thing they want to do when they get here? Start changing it into the place where they came from. Another park or, you know, some walking trails near their home or, God forbid, a Starbucks.
A popular bumper sticker around town reads, "Don't Phoenix Flagstaff." More than 1 out of every 4 homes sold in Flagstaff now is bought by a second homeowner. Longtime Flagstaff resident Derek Turner says they're partly to blame for Flagstaff's high cost of living.
They certainly pushed the housing market up, and the people who live here and want to stay here full time can't afford the houses. So either they struggle or they're forced to move somewhere else.
In fact, the median home price has more than doubled in the past 8 years. Even the national housing crash has barely affected prices in Flagstaff. And the gap between that median home price and the average household income is twice as large as the national average. Some newcomers are shocked at how hard it is to find a decent paying job.
One-income families here, they might as well put up a sign that says, stay away. Because unless you come with wealth it's hard to make it here.
Sue Mattson moved here 4 years ago from the Boston area. She thought she could make a new, simpler life for herself in Flagstaff and make a positive contribution to the community. Instead, she scraped by on a series of low-paying jobs. So Mattson found herself in a used bookstore using the free Wi-Fi to search for jobs online.
And we go to Sue's favorites, and I'm really not seeing anything at this point.
Mattson says she wasn't surprised it was tough to find work.
I was surprised that even once you found it, you weren't getting paid enough to stay in Flagstaff. People would give their eye teeth to stay in Flagstaff, and they are giving their eye teeth to stay in Flagstaff.
In the end, Mattson left Flagstaff. But for others, Flagstaff's quality of life is worth the sacrifices, sometimes extreme sacrifices. 9 years ago, Colleen Barnett and her husband drove up from Southern California for vacation.
One of the things that struck us was in Los Angeles, in the big metropolitan areas, you're kind of anonymous. And here, we're walking down the street and people are saying hi to us and nodding and making eye contact and how are you? And, you know, it was a little uncomfortable at first because we're not used to this.
The Barnetts bought a piece of property for retirement. Then Colleen found a job as a loan officer at a Flagstaff bank with a 30% pay cut. But her husband wasn't ready to leave his job as a chief financial officer with a large corporation.
So here we are 7.5 years later, and my husband is still working in California and now commutes back and forth, flies out on Monday evening and comes home Friday morning. While meanwhile, I'm up here living in paradise.
So is her son, who followed his parents to Flagstaff. He's now an officer with the city's police department, exactly the kind of newcomer with human capital that demographer Kenneth Johnson talked about. But like many other middle-class residents, he can't afford to buy a home. Flagstaff business owner Jim Babbitt doesn't expect the housing situation to improve as the city continues to grow.
The Chamber of Commerce and the Boosters have sought growth for as long as I can remember, and boy, they've got it now. And, you know, along with that growth comes rising prices, gentrification, and I've always thought, be careful what you ask for.
And that's a problem that Flagstaff and towns like it don't have much time left to solve. How to accommodate the growth they know is coming without losing the small-town character that attracted everyone in the first place. For NPR News, I'm Daniel Crocker in Flagstaff.
And that report was produced by Arizona Public Radio with NPR's Local News Initiative. Tomorrow, we'll explore how growth, a problem for some towns, is an opportunity for others.